Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm a little bit surprised. We can kill the theme music. Thank you, Pasquale. I'm a little bit surprised. I just found out yesterday that all this time, anybody watch the show Shameless? It ended, and if you didn't watch the last season, don't waste your time. Erase every episode. Total waste of time. But the theme song, The Luck You Got, all this time, I thought it was a woman singing it. It's a dude. It's a guitar player. I couldn't believe it. No man should have a voice that high. It was just wild. Absolutely wild. Anyway, to find that out, I mean, thinking, you know, what does she look like? Oh my, it's not a she. Hello. Anyway, welcome. I mean, we're talking XY chromosomes there, and, you know, we follow the science. XX means woman, XY means man, and, or did I get that screwed up? Let me do a recheck. Anyway, how are you? We're talking about the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, being available to 12 to 15-year-olds, the Pfizer one, possibly beginning next week. And call me irresponsible, and that's fine. There's no way in hell, if I had a kid in that age group, that I would allow the kid to be vaccinated by something that is only approved for emergency use authorization. All right? I'm sorry. I wouldn't do it. I don't think I could do it and have a clear conscience because, you know, I've heard the doctors, I've heard the scientists, and you know what? Sometimes doctors and scientists have been wrong. Like, oh, I don't know, an antacid that after decades they find out, oh, it gives people cancer. A morning sickness drug that resulted in horrible birth defects. And if I was 15 years old, 16 years old, I'm putting myself into that headspace, which is actually hard to do because mentally I'm 12. So I haven't quite hit 15 or 16 yet mentally. But I don't think I'd want it as a 15-year-old. I would say, you know what? Because at 15, I had no comorbidities that I knew of. Actually, I did. I just didn't know about them. But there were no comorbidities that I knew about. I was in really good shape, and there was no reason. I would have found no reason for me to get the shot. Well, what about other people, Tom? What about other people? My response to that is simple, and it goes like this: anybody who wants the vaccine, well, anybody of age, right now, the current age, who wants the vaccine has had every opportunity to get the vaccine. In fact, what we hear about now is not, there aren't enough vaccines to go around. Damn Trump, incompetent fool, orange evil man, Cheeto man. What we hear about now is, you know, we've got so much vaccine, we're going to give people beer to get vaccinated. We've got so much vaccine, we're going to give people baseball tickets to get vaccinated. So if people have chosen not to get the vaccine, the last I checked, we still live in the United States of America, and they have made two choices. Number one, to not get the vaccine. Number two, to put themselves into situations where they may come into people with COVID. So two choices of free will that have been made by American citizens. And the good news is that even among the highest risk group, the survivability rate for COVID-19 is still 98.5%. And I know that number by heart because I'm in the highest risk group there is, not because of age, but because of a boatload of comorbidities. And look, again, this idea of do you think for a minute, okay, if you've been vaccinated and effective midnight tonight, I will be as safe against COVID as anybody can possibly be, having had my two Moderna shots, and that will be the 14th day since shot number two. Do you think I'm going to spend any time worrying about getting COVID-19? Here's the answer, no. I will not. I'm done. I didn't freak out when COVID-19 was into us for 2 months. I didn't freak out. I did not stop seeing my friends. I did not stop living my life. I did not put everything on hold. I ate too much. I know that. But as far as, there are people, folks, you got to understand here, we talk about the physical a lot, but we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the psychological. And do you know that there are actually people who, even if they're fully vaccinated, they have been so inculcated with fear over COVID that they are still stranded at home and they're paralyzed as far as wanting to go? We have created what used to be called agoraphobics with the coronavirus. So you pose very little danger to me. If you have not been vaccinated, or if you've been vaccinated, you pose very little danger to me. Is it risk-free? No, nothing is risk-free. But I ain't going to worry about it. Because life, you know, folks, life is risk. You can't live unless you risk. You can't eliminate risk from life. I hate to oversimplify it, but you just can't do it. Hardly be original, when it's your time, it's your time. For example, I mentioned this yesterday, Sioux City, Iowa, when United Flight 232 cartwheeled, broke apart, burst into flames on landing, that whole flight was a miracle. People actually survived that situation, and the pilots only had engines to steer the plane and to descend the plane, and they finally lost control of it about 50 feet over, well, near the runway in Sioux City, Iowa. And some of the people on that plane lived, and some of them didn't. And it was the same plane, the same pilots. People were sitting in different places, which determined in a big extent which lived and which didn't. But the bottom line is, you know what? Call me a fatalist, but when it's your turn, it's your turn. And you only get one shot at life, unless you believe in reincarnation, which is cool. But you only get one shot. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. And you can choose to live your life to its fullest, or you can choose to be petrified and paranoid. And I'm sorry, that's just not my, in the infamous words of Austin Powers, that's not my bag, baby. All right, we're at 803-0930. So a couple of questions. If you are or were a parent of a 12 through 15-year-old, would you get your kid vaccinated with the COVID vaccine? My answer is a resounding hell no. That's my kid, no. No, 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 no. Emergency use authorization. It's less than a year old. No, no, no. And I want to know what your response is. Are you going to get your kid vaccinated in that age group? I want to know if your kids are saying, Mom, Dad, you got to get me vaccinated as quickly as possible. But the caveat is, barring any underlying comorbidities, like this lady whose son has the liver issue, hey, I can understand why she might want the kid vaccinated. I get that. Even though the statistics are what they are, I understand her sense of inner relief. And are you being selfish by not getting the COVID shot? I have nothing major to fear from you if you didn't get the COVID shot. It's just, otherwise, why get the shot? Here's John in North Tonawanda. John, you're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening to you for well over a decade. The time goes by. It's probably more. But
oh, you poor bastard.
Oh, you're great. And I've called in probably half a dozen times, and it's usually when something triggers me. And it was the one gentleman that called a little while ago, and he said, you know, if you guys were at the Bison's game together and he was vaccinated, you weren't, like, why would he care? And you told him, you know, well, then don't come to the game. It's vice versa, too. Then, you know, it could work the other way. I was lucky enough to be in Florida for January, February, March of this year. And the way I saw it, I was with a bunch of like-minded people, okay? So we would go into an establishment, a Publix, a restaurant, or a bar, and, you know, we didn't stay 6 feet apart, or we weren't wearing masks, and we were all, as Americans, taking the same risk. We knew what we were getting into. We're all adults, okay? So that's the way it should be. And I tend to ramble, but this thing has become politicized for sure. And my problem is, I think the political anger for some reason is coming from the left. Why does that gentleman who was four callers ago care whether or not you or I get vaccinated? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's to the point where they get angry about it. Whereas me, who I'm not going to get vaccinated, and I can explain to you why if you want, but I'm not going to get vaccinated. I don't care if anyone else gets vaccinated, and I don't care if anyone else wears a mask. Get vaccinated, wear a mask, God bless you. I don't leave my house tomorrow morning without a mask saying I'm going to go get within 6 feet of somebody who, you know, who might be afraid of me. That's not my intent. I walk out there living my own life. I'm not rolling up to someone without my mask to try to frighten them. And
well, you know, I mean, look, it's very interesting what you're saying. And I have to tell you, I mean, to me, it's a little bit refreshing that there are Americans out there who are willing to take the risk of that is inherent in living in what used to be a free society. And the I don't know this for a fact, but I think what you perceived as the anger in the other guy who called is the frustration at not being able to control the actions of others, to which my retort is you can control your own life. And if you want to minimize your risk, you can stay home. But here's the ironic part. The places that are in lockdown, like Ontario, COVID is spreading like wildfire. Texas and Florida, pretty much wide open. They don't have a big problem. Now, some of it is climate, but seriously, it can't all be climate.
You're preaching to the choir, Tom, and you said something earlier too, like this is an address rehearsal. I've always loved that thing, and I think some people don't realize that. And the, you know, like the risk versus the gain thing, like some people have become agoraphobic. You're right, which is, you know, I didn't think about it till you brought that up, but it's sad. Like I know some amazingly beautiful, wonderful people who won't leave their house. Like they are really, really intimidated by this thing, and to me, it's very sad.
Hold on if you want to add on to that, because look, it's a real problem. I mean, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, they're dealing with this. People who have been so brainwashed and so pushed into a fear mentality, they have not left their homes. My mom knows some, well, most of her friends are little old ladies, obviously. And there are people like that who have literally not left their house in a year. And that's, you know what? That's a damn shame. Sunday is Mother's Day, and I'll be going to see my mother at some point on Mother's Day, and she's been vaccinated, I've been vaccinated, and I'm sure that neither of us will be wearing masks any more than any of us wore masks in the drive to the Cove on Saturday night. And again, you know, I maybe shouldn't admit this, but I have been in environments with a number of people, none of whom were wearing masks, and nobody ended up with COVID from those environments. Nobody. I'm not saying there's not a risk. Maybe some luck was involved, like United Airlines Flight 232. A lot of luck was involved there. A lot of things. Everything went right that could possibly go right, including the weather. All right, let's go back to John in North Tonawanda. John, you're not getting the vaccine. Now, are you worried that we as a society and our governments, especially in blue states, you mentioned it has been politicized. I can't help but agree as I look over the nation's landscape. But your thoughts on basically the new segregation it looks like we're going to have, the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated 6 feet of distance, the vaccinated no 6 feet of distance, but for some idiotic reason, we have to wear a mask.
Yes, Tom. So I'm a big boy and I can take it. Okay. I'm close to your age. I'm 55 years old. So I really don't care, but I have been, for lack of a better term, vax shamed and mask shamed, okay, because I'm not going to take it. But I'm going to tell you why I have it. And you actually had a show, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and you called it the no judgment show. You know what I mean? You could call in and say anything. And I was going to call in that day, but I wasn't jazzed up enough yet. But I'm going to tell you why I was going to call and say it. So here's why I'm not taking it. So when COVID hit last May, some friends and I, you know, the weather was crappy around here. We're like, you know what? Let's just go to Florida. Florida was just starting to open up last May, Mother's Day time. So we went down, and, you know, people were half and half. Like, it wasn't like this time I was hearing about, but they were half masked up. And it was great. Like, there's no problem. So I was interacting with people. And for lack of a better term, I was breaking all the rules, okay? I didn't get sick. I haven't had so much as a cold or a sniffle since this whole thing happened. When I was in the Navy, when I was 21 years old, they gave me a flu vaccine. I took that vaccine, and I've never been more sick in my life. Now, that being said, I believe that COVID is real. I believe that masks help. I believe the vaccine is a good idea. But for me personally, as an American with my liberties, I don't want to take this vaccine. It's not broken for me. I'm doing all the things I've done my whole life, not breaking any legal laws or rules. So I don't want to be shamed by somebody because I don't wear the mask or I don't take the vaccine.
Okay, and you have brought up another great point. And John, thank you very much. I appreciate it. How many people listening to this program have been mask shamed or vax shamed? I thought, frankly, I was opening myself up for a ton of people calling me irresponsible and an ogre and everything else because it is my humble belief, and I know this for a fact, that if I had a 12, 13, 14, or 15-year-old kid, or 16 for that matter, I would not allow the kid to get the COVID vaccine unless there was some underlying medical condition. I just wouldn't, because as a parent, I believe that that is something that, at least have a conversation with your kid about it. And that's why I'm asking, do your kids even want the COVID vaccine? We got a story on our website about a woman who believes that the news that Pfizer might get approval for 12 to 15-year-olds is like the greatest day in the history of days. And that is kind of a quote. She must not get out much. 803-0930 is the number. Star 930 on the cell phone and 1-800-616-WBEN. And will you get the vaccine for your kid? And, is this something that you as a parent are clamoring for? Yay! My kid, 12 to 15, can get the vaccine. Maybe if it's approved next week, the Pfizer. So, We have been talking about, and this is something that I tried to gain some traction on previously, but I think today it's different because the landscape has shifted. Pfizer may very well be getting approval next week to administer the COVID-19 vaccine to children 12 to 15 years of age. And, you know, call me irresponsible, but if I had a child in that age group, I do not believe that with a clear conscience, I would mandate that the kid get the COVID-19 vaccine. Unless there's some underlying significant medical issue, I would feel horrible if in 20 years the kid says, hey, thanks for making me get the vaccine because they just found out that it causes this. Look, I don't blame people for being skeptical. And I don't blame people for being skeptical because, first of all, 2 weeks to slow the spread, flatten the curve, that was the goal. Now the goal seems to be zero COVID, and that's never going to happen. COVID isn't going anywhere. I'm also understanding the cynicism out there because things the CDC has said have proven to be false. A, you didn't wear a mask. Then you did have to wear a mask. Then better if you wear two masks. What? Huh? Come again? Not quite following the logic. Something else. You don't touch anything without washing your hands afterwards because COVID can live on surfaces for hundreds of years. I'm exaggerating. No, that's not true. It's not a big deal. And then, of course, hey, get your vaccine so you can live life normally again. So we get vaccinated, and then it's, well, if you go to the baseball game, even if you're sitting in the vaccinated section, you don't have to social distance, but you still have to wear a mask. Yeah, that's going to be great, sitting in 70, 80-degree weather wearing a mask watching a game. That's not my idea of being a free American. As of midnight, I mean, I'm not going to quibble over a few hours. It's Cinco de Mayo. But I will be as protected against COVID as I can possibly be. So I'll probably get hit by a train. I mean, that's the way life works. God has a funny sense of humor. We do have a winner of the Genesis tickets. We do have a winner of the Genesis tickets. Just thought you should know. Now, here is an interesting email. Let's see. I will not mention names. I was to get together last week with a group of ladies with whom I used to work. When they found out I did not have the vaccine, they said I could still come, but we'd have to find a place where we could sit outdoors. Needless to say, I told them they can count me out. I'm not a dog. I don't need to prove I had my shots to go out to eat. Well, and the other issue here is pretty simple. If they have had their vaccines, for what reason would they be worried? I mean, with Moderna anyway, 2 weeks after shot number one, we were told that you're about 80% protected from COVID. So, you know, again, effective at midnight, I officially turned into Superman. Don't tell anybody. But still, you know what? The vaccine, it's up to 95% effective, right? So that means out of every 100 people who get the vaccine, there's a chance 5 will end up getting COVID anyway. And there was a doctor, 81 years old, infectious disease expert, went to India, and he was vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. He had both doses, and he went to India to help out, ended up dying. He had COVID when he died. Now, was COVID the cause of death, or was it the fact that the doctor was 81 and had liver disease and heart issues? Well, I don't know. I'm not a pathologist, not privy to the inside. And this was a really good guy, too, from Rutgers. You can look it up online. It's funny because some stories mentioned that he had been vaccinated. Other stories seem to go out of their way to say nothing about his vaccination status, which kind of struck me as being a little bit queer. And I mean that in the ancient sense of the word. Hey, joining us right now on WBEN, she writes for the Epoch Times. She holds a PhD. She is a very, very intelligent woman. And she likes to join us on the show, and you guys love it when we have her, Amina Malonic. Amina, thanks very much for being with us. Much appreciated.
Absolutely, Tom. Good to be here.
So, you know, I feel like here we are again, and we are at a I should point out that even though you are a doctor, you're not a medical doctor. You hold a PhD. But you know, the idea let's start off, first of all, with the idea of mask shaming or vaccine shaming. What is there about the new American character that basically endorses bullying as long as we're bullying people without masks or who don't want to get the vaccine? We used to be against it.
Isn't this just the weirdest thing of what's going on? I mean, that was my that's what I noticed, actually, even from the beginning, you know, and certainly when we started to talk about these shots, and before that about masks. There's something really strange going on in the sense that there's a change in psychological character of Americans. And I think that not all Americans, of course, and I would say probably this is not limited to United States. I think it's in many Western countries. That seems to be the case here. Which makes me think is that a sense of prosperity has made people complacent, actually, about life. And so they're not even taking any risks to begin with. So now, on top of this, they're actually exhibiting more and more fear, which is, it's very difficult for me to understand. I can tell you that from my own perspective, from the perspective of my own life, that is. And kind of, go ahead.
No, please continue.
No, and it kind of comes down a little bit to, you know, that silly question when you interview for a job and they ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I have been asked that question, you know, many times, and I would tell them exactly the same thing, and which is, I've been through a war, I've lived in a refugee camp, I've had a very hard life. That question is meaningless to me, because you have no idea what life may bring. And I actually feel the same way in this case as well. That is, you don't know what life will bring, which means you cannot stop from living at all.
And, you know, Amina, one of the things that I talked about earlier, and I've been reading a lot of articles about this, and this is a little bit freaky, that even people who have been fully vaccinated have become agoraphobic. They don't want to leave the house. There is no rational foundation for this reason or for this behavior, but people are engaging in it. And that is so, to me, it's so sad because you get one shot at life. And as I found out a few years ago, you never know when it might just end suddenly.
Exactly. So I'm also kind of just like you. I'm a little bit, there's a slight confusion that I'm experiencing that is about people who are unwilling to, you know, live their lives. But also, you know, just looking at it from a little bit more of a distant perspective, from a psychological perspective, I wonder why this is happening. Why are people so afraid? Were they always afraid of life? And I've said this from the beginning. You know, I dug up an old article of mine from March 24th that I wrote on this, of last year, that is. And it would appear that nothing has changed. And what I wrote in that article was that the fear of the virus was more of a virus than the virus itself. And it appears that nothing has changed. So I think we have to ask, you know, why are people, again, willing to be obedient to this? What are they afraid of losing? And how did we get to this point? The other thing actually that I find interesting is to ask, what kind of social class are these people belonging to, the ones that are afraid? Are these people that are working, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, factory jobs? I doubt it, actually. I think that if you are constantly, you know, working and where you have to interact with people, you cannot afford, quite literally, afford to be fearful like that.
No, absolutely. We're talking with Amina Malonic, PhD. Her work is all over the place online. She writes for the Epoch Times, and it's Amina, E-M-I-N-A, last name M-E-L-O-N-I-C. Amina has a very fascinating life story, as she alluded to it before. Bosnia, her family victimized by the genocide against Muslims in Bosnia, spent many years at a Czech refugee camp, was originally turned down to come to the United States, made a phone call, convinced them through the power of her personality that she deserved a spot at the table. She's here and now obviously a productive person who is very much in love with the United States of America. She chose to come to share her unique and individual talents with us. That is Amina Malonic. And I want to talk, obviously, more with Amina coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. And one of the things, again, just to bring you guys up to speed, one of the things that I've been asking you is 12-year-old through 15-year-old, if you're a parent or if you were a parent and you think back to those times, would you say to your kid, I think you should get the COVID vaccine? And honestly, I do not believe I would order my kid to get it. Now, the other question is, what if the kid wants it? Well, that poses a new set of questions. I think I would ask the child, why do you think you need it? And then I would go to some websites, and I think we'd look up statistics and figure out, you know, what is the greater risk? What is the greater benefit? And take a rational approach to it. And as I've said, you know, a repeated message that I've tried to get out there is I think you need to do a personal risk assessment in consultation with your physicians and decide whether the shot makes sense for you. For me, absolutely a no-brainer. And despite the nasty side effects of shot number two, I will tell you, I would do it all over again. Okay, it was important for me to get vaccinated. Although, as I've told you, I did not put my life on hold over the past year. And thank God, because I've had a lot of good times. Not as many as I'd like, but a lot of good times. I didn't spend my entire time as a high-risk member of the population locked inside my home in mortal dread of a virus sneaking in to my life. Washed my hands a lot, tell you that much, starting to crack. And a reminder, Sunday is Mother's Day. My mom, fully vaccinated. I, fully vaccinated. I shall be maskless in the presence of my mother. But then again, I've been maskless in the presence of my mother. She didn't get to be 87 years old by freaking out every time the media told her to freak out. She's she's a rock of stability in a tumultuous world filled with white caps and vicissitudes. Yeah, 54 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Amina Malonik, PhD, is with us on WBEN. We've been talking about she's not a psychologist, but she is a keen observer of the American psyche and American social behaviors. And, I want to get back to the idea of shaming. We had a guy call in who thought that I had said that people are selfish if they don't get the vaccine. And I don't know if I said it or not. Clearly, it's not really the message that I've been consistently giving to people. But do you believe that people, given community spread, do you believe people are selfish, or are they simply being Americans and deciding what is right for themselves and their families?
Yeah, they're definitely not being selfish. I think that given the fact that mortality of this virus, you know, the fact that the flu is actually more deadly, and I have spoken to so many doctors about this, who find the restrictions, who always found the restrictions to be absurd, given the lethal notions of this virus. No, I don't think they're being selfish, because we should be able to determine what is good for us, and that is obviously at the center of being an American. It's at the center of being a human being, actually.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that in the United States of America there would come a day where you'd be perhaps hopping on a plane and being asked, your papers, please, have you had the vaccination?
Never, never in my life. And, you know, I'm kind of reflecting even on my times when I first came here, in the first 2 years of my life, particularly first 2 years of my life in America, were tremendously difficult. I mean, I really, you know, had a very, very tough life during that time. And I'm reflecting back on that, and I'm going, well, I was more free then. I'm reflecting back on my life in the camp, and I'm thinking to myself, I was more free then, too. So what is going on here? Why do we not feel free? And I think not feeling free is not just, it's not an illusion. I think people's feelings and thoughts on this ought to be validated, because so far what we have is a perpetuation of uncertainty and obedience.
And I think there's a credibility gap. Whom can we trust? Because we're told, oh, there's no way the CDC would ever cave into the big teachers union, and yet not one local teachers union or federation or association has gotten behind Tarja Parsonen in her bid to reopen in-person learning for all students all week long, citing the extreme detrimental effects and the psychology of children stuck at home. I'm going to ask you to hold on. On WBEN, Amina Malonic is with us. She writes for the Epoch Times and all over the internet, but she's my big brain. David Bellavia has Dr. Mark Epstein. I have Dr. Amina Malonic because I know when I've met my match.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.